All right, folks, this is Rabble Rouse from Rich Bergeron.
With the Twitter Tornado, Tony Pennycal.
And Psychic Tom Fadget with a red hot crystal ball.
All right, then, Tom, I heard a nasty rumor about you, what you did last Sunday. I heard, actually, you were in Vegas last Sunday after the Canelo fight. Somebody told me you entered into a beauty pageant out there, and you went in as a cross-dresser, and you beat out 7 former Miss Universe contestants because Adelaide Bird was the judge of the contest.
Oh, man. You know, I thought I was incognito. Oh, and I can't deny it. I've been busted. I've been busted. The whole world knows. I admit. I confess. You got me. Tap. Tapped out.
Yeah, I did not get to watch the fight myself, but heard just horrible things about how 2 other judges, one had it a draw and one had it a couple points for GGG. It just blows my mind. Adelaide Bird had a, 118 to 110 for Canelo?
118. Yeah.
And from all accounts, it was
a very close
fight. I think
she was a little
fight.
Wide. The Judy Coppola, the organized crime family of the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Well, they have suspended her. I guess they took her. So,
and stand fight. You try to box me. There's no wound that you have to stand and one guy. I've had it after 10 rounds, 7 rounds to 3 for a Triple J. Had the last 2 rounds make 7-5, 1-5. If you shave one of those rounds to Canelo, you have a draw. I can live with that. But 118-110 is a joke. Adelaide Bird, I've many times in the past, you know, made worse as boxing. I don't know how she has and keeps a license. And every time I see her, she's one of the judges. I'm like, this is going to be next call here to be bad. When they were about to do the judge, then she said, but Adelaide Bird has a 118-110. And I'm like, well, if it was right by, I could argue that Triple G, but it's still terrible. But I'm like, what hurt you with Canelo? And just like, four, Canelo out, this is a joke.
I mean, everything was outrage, every form, and I had about 5 different forms going at one time, and it was unanimous. And the sad part about it, a lot of the comments were, this is why I turned boxing off 20 years ago.
Yep.
And it's just, God bless boxing, the only activity that can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Just when the momentum was coming back, now we've lost a whole other generation, and there seems to be no answer to it. No other sport would tolerate this. They just wouldn't. And here's Bob Bennett giving her his stamp of approval. It's unbelievable. Like, nothing. Change.
There's going to be a rematch, and it's going to be May 5th. I already looked at the 2018 calendar. May 5th falls on a Saturday. That's going to be the rematch. And I'm pricing packages. I could probably get one of the decent hotels there, flight and 3 nights in the hotel for $650.
So your Triple G's management is going to be retarded enough to go back to Las Vegas.
I'm hoping so.
Well, then why have a fight? There's no sense having a fight. I mean, all Canelo has to do is just stand there for 12 rounds. It would be nuts for Triple G to go back. Unless it's a retirement fight and they're going to pay him $100 million and he knows he's going to lose. And they'll never fight again. This is nuts.
Well, looking at the potential other big spots that they had, the original fight is you look at Magic Johnson offer Dodger Stadium. Now, I don't know what the Dodgers schedule is like next year. Maybe it's going to be on Dodger game. I don't know. But once again, heavy Hispanic population. You have Jerry Jones was playing at that Cowboy Stadium. Once again, heavy Hispanic population. All right. Plays. they possibly had that would be, I guess, less biased for Canelo would be either Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. But I don't think either one of them would be able to dread much that Vegas, LA, or Dallas could. But you know, darn well, Golden Boy is going to hope that Triple G, his management, is going to be crazy enough and stupid enough to want it in Las Vegas again. Why change success? If you've got the judges that are going to be on your side, I mean, I don't see how they can hype this thing for a rematch in Las Vegas. And Bob Bennett may just for spite put Adelaide Byrd to judge the second one. Why wouldn't he? He can do anything he wants. He's God. He's above the law. He can do anything.
I think, I think it's actually an example of me getting my predictions mixed up when I said that Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather was going to be a draw. I was going to joke, actually, on the last episode that maybe this one will be a draw. But I was like, no, that's not even funny because, you know, I was totally wrong about the conspiracy last time. So make it a draw, but it makes too much sense. It's almost like the Manny Pacquiao Timothy Bradley situation where they had to be forced to have a rematch, and that was another one in Vegas, and crazy judging, just ridiculous judging in that. And then all it takes is one judge in this scenario to swing it the wrong way to mandatory one more fight. And who knows, maybe there would have been a rematch anyway because it was so close if it went the right way. But I think Gennady won from...
Well, I wouldn't have minded that. And I think, Tony, a lot of people complain about the one judge with 114 to 114, but it was not that far-fetched because there were a couple of rounds that were close. I mean, I had it the way Tony did. A lot of this was 116 to 112. Triple G 8-4, but a couple of those rounds could have swung. So I wouldn't have been that upset about it. We live with it and we go on. But 118 to 110, and as we were saying earlier, the sad part about this is there was a lot of drama. I wouldn't call this fight a great fight, but it was a good one because Triple G had to adjust. He was behind the eight ball in the first couple of rounds, in my opinion, and I think he had to start making some adjustments. He did. And Canelo proved he had a chin. Canelo proved his cardio was good. And he made some adjustments in the latter rounds. And we're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about two words, Adelaide Byrd. That's the sad part about this whole evening.
Everybody, every boxing fan wants to flip her the bird, except people who like Canelo, I guess.
And I found out her husband is Robert Byrd. What a coincidence. Yeah.
The judge? I mean,
yes.
Referee?
Robert Byrd, the referee. That's her husband.
Oh, wow.
That's been her end. I didn't know this till I knew she was horrible, and then I did a little detective work and found out that was her end. And as Bob Bennett says, she takes new judges and takes them under her wing.
Oh, no.
Well, what an idiotic statement that is to make in public. I mean, he should get a puzzle on his mouth. And I don't know who the PR team is, but if I was on it, I'd say, here, let me get Tony, give me that tape, okay? Give me that duct tape. It's going on Mr. Bennett's mouth. Stop it.
Hey, that's like taking a person that every single race. He's going to instruct that. He's going to take Mr. Bennett to the wing.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I mean, that's kind of in the you-can't-make-this-up category, but I don't find it funny. Because I wouldn't find it funny in any sport. I mean, I respect all athletes for the work they do. I don't care what the sport is. But boxing is so special. You put your life into it. It's an individual sport. It's risky. It's the preparation. Ruined.
Yeah. I heard Teddy Atlas had a fine, rare moment akin to one that he had earlier on ESPN where... I mean, there was a few times where he actually, one of the best ones just happened, I think, earlier this year when he basically interviewed the guy after the fight, and he goes, you know you lost that fight, you know, and they gave him the decision.
I think
But, yeah, Teddy Atlas.
And then, I don't know if you guys caught this one when he was, I'm telling you, if Stephen A. Smith would have been in the same room with him, Teddy was going to pop up and throw down with him. Yeah. Did you guys catch that on YouTube?
I saw
not that. I heard about it.
I saw the most recent one, and he really ripped into sport of boxing. Sick of watching people, you know, put all this effort into it and get screwed by the stupid people that don't know what they're talking about, basically. And that's been a common theme of his. He's never afraid to say it.
You guys know what it's like when even training for an amateur fight, you're putting your life on the line.
Yeah.
You know, all the food you have to push away, getting up in the morning to run, all the hurts, conquering your nerves when you're going, making that walk to the ring. When you feel that first punch, I mean, it's natural reaction. Damn, what did I get myself in? But you hang in with it. I mean, fighters are special people. And for this creature to ruin the whole night, it's just an obscenity.
No, Tom, and a funny point. I'm going back years ago. One of the times I had to work at the ring announcer, and it was a college show, so we weren't getting in the ring, we were just at the table doing the announcing. And the kid from Rockhaven was fighting, and he was fighting a kid from the party or somewhere, I don't really remember. And the kid from Rockhaven clearly won the fight. Everybody except for two of the three is in the fight. And I get the cards in my hand and has the hockey kid. Was so bad that I actually looked at all the cards to make sure the things were back. And at three, I'm going to actually pay tribute to him tonight as well, Tony Wolf, who is back to me with the fighter's arms. And I remember saying, the winner out of the blue corner, and I was confused when I said it, then it's wrong. And Tony looked back at me and actually nodded my head affirmatively. I said it was the blue corner. And I gave the other guy's name, and he raised his hand. He came back to me, wow, that was the wrong call. I said, Tony, I know. The last day that you won. So, my first year doing podcast with Red, we had a guy on our show who's a professional ring announcer, who's a friend of mine. And I asked him, I said, Lad, you're a ring announcer, and you know the call was wrong. You know the wrong call. I'm like, how do you handle that? He goes, in that situation, I think to myself, I am a ring announcer. I am not the judge. I am not the referee. It is not my job to take away from the judgment. Let the judge for it. You've got to go there and the winner. Why? Let the decision. Shut up. You got to be enthusiastic because you got to announce it. You're not paid to give an opinion. He goes, you're not paid to take away these moments. And I can appreciate that, but at the same time, it just irks me a little bit. Yes.
Yeah, how about when Bruce Buffer screwed up the decision and he had to come back and read it the right way? that happened once, too.
It was fun. You were on that, okay? Night funny, and I'm a the humor and stuff. I mean, when I lose my sense of humor, I'm gonna commit harakiri. I've got a big samurai sword, and if my sense of humor is ever gone, that's it. I'm checking out.
All right, then.
There's an Italian on the show, to pay tribute to a world champion and a person who we lost, and that was the Cast Iron Agent Jake
LaMotta. Yep, Jake LaMotta, 95 years old. He was in a nursing home, but died of pneumonia. And I heard he never went down. He was standing up when he died. No, holding the rope.
Yeah. And the one thing he said about, Jake LaMotta was a guy that did things his own way. I mean, talk about Sinatra made it my way. He said about Jake LaMotta. Jake wasn't always the best guy in the world, and Jake, sometimes was a little hothead. But Jake was throwing a fight against Billy Fast, and even in the movie, he's up against the roof, and he takes a punch. He's like, come on, you bum, hit me, you bum. And that's when he stops the fight, because he has his arms down. that even in throwing a fight, he refused to go down.
Yeah, it's quite the interesting movie. And I thought one of the articles, actually the one that Tom sent, the line that struck me the most was his reaction to the movie, saying, well, geez, I wasn't that bad of a guy. Or was I? You know? Maybe I was. Maybe they did do the right job. Maybe I was a bad guy, but I turned it around.
Well, I sure wish we could have had him as a guest. Can you imagine? Wow, my God. My God. What a fun interview, huh?
That would be awesome.
Years ago, about 20 years ago, I'm out there, and he was, and Vinny, you know, as we know in the movie, and we met, Vinny had a fondness for the luxurious movies. And at the time, he was in a play with a Woody Anderson, who just passed away a couple years ago. And Vinny had dinner with her, like, hey, Jake's in the other room, and he's like, the only guy I know, Jake was a guy named Jake Rollo. Like, no, Jake Lamont, so he goes in there, and Jake is, I guess, 7 some years old. He's like, oh, really, that's a 50-year-old. He's grabbing her, hugging her, and squeezing her, and he's like, yeah, Jake, what's that? You know? And he's like, calm down.
Yeah, Vinny's another one we got to get back to one of these days.
Yeah.
But we had Lou Duva before he died, so that was a good one. Good old
Lou Duva. Yeah, Lou was a good one. I got something from Vinny in the mouth. Let's go.
Well, you guys are breaking up like crazy, so...
Check out the photo I just sent you guys.
Okay. You guys are breaking up like crazy, so I'm just going to go over some results real quick and boxing some other results. And at the end, I'm going to mention the last one last because we got to talk about what happened before that fight. But we also had Joseph Diaz beating Rafael Rivera. Milan Molindo beating Hecky Butler. Callum Smith beat Eric Skoglund. We had Jonas Sultan beating John Real Casimiro all on Saturday there. Randy Caballero lost to Diego De La Hoya, so he's the one that stayed undefeated there. Ryan Martin beat Francisco Rojo. Sorry, I don't have the weights and all that crap. I'm just reading right off the box track. And the Jesus fight of the week there on Friday, Claudio Marrero lost to Jesus M. Rojas, so Jesus gets the win. It's always good. But the big one I wanted to talk about at the end here, Billy Joe Saunders versus Willie Monroe Jr. And Billy Joe Saunders did get the win, but his kid gets the least sportsmanly fan award, I guess. He was tinkering with the scale, basically, playing around with it. And Willie Monroe Jr. goes to step up on the scale and just kind of nudges him aside, and the kid punched him right in, as one guy called it, his party stick. Just punched him right in the balls. So I was like, what the hell? And of course it went viral. And Tom didn't find it funny at all. I know that. Right, Tom? And then we had, let's see. We got some fights coming up this weekend. Some big ones. Jorge Linares versus Luke Campbell on Saturday. Joseph Parker versus Huey Fury at heavyweight. It's a big one. Tyson Fury's brother. Antonio Orozco versus Roberto Ortiz. And they just actually announced another fight with another Ortiz. Luis Ortiz, the same guy who battered Magomedov, who just got the $22 million judgment. He is now going to be fighting Deontay Wilder at heavyweight November. That just came out this week, so that's a big one. And then the boxing super series, it continues with Yunier Dordikos versus Dmitry Kudryashov on Saturday. And then toe-to-toe Tuesdays, Barthelemy steps up in the main event. So LeDuan instead of Rancis. And LeDuan's fighting Eduardo Ramirez in that one. And that's what we got coming up this weekend. And of course we got UFC and stuff to talk about, but probably get to that a little bit later. I do want to talk about a couple other stories. Bobby the Brain Heenan died this week.
Yeah. So, yeah, very sad.
Somebody that I actually remember from watching a few times I watched because my buddy was a fanatic in the 80s. But yeah, he was always a good heel. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, he's great.
And that was a very, very good showman there. So that happened then.
You know, as a kid, I watched him really. And, like, as a kid, you know, when you're 8, 9 years old, and you get all these guys, your hero, Hulk Hogan, and you can always underhand and do that. I hate him. And then years later, it's like, oh my God, he was so great. He was one of the best ever. May he rest in peace. Thank you for great memories.
Yeah. Good way to put it. And then I sent you guys an article about, you know, there's a lot of talk about hurricanes lately. We had Harvey, Irma, now Marie tearing up some islands. But there's another hurricane coming from boxing to mixed martial arts. And this is an interesting trend happening because we've got a lot of male MMA fighters talking about going to boxing, but the female boxers are talking about coming to MMA. So now Anna Juletong is signed by Bellator, so she joins Heather Hardy as the second boxer, female boxer, of, you know, decent record to come over to mixed martial arts officially. And one of the key reasons why she chose to do this, it's part of a story I like, is that Bellator remains a company that is open to cross competing. So, in other words, she can go back to boxing if she gets an opportunity between MMA fights, and she's not handcuffed to only fighting, like, say, for the UFC, who does not have such a contract arrangement with their fighters. It's either that or nothing, which is why, supposedly, this ties into another story, Conor McGregor is going to be going before Congress. Just what we need, right? Conor McGregor talking about fighter pay, supposedly. He's going to be talking about as well the issue of the Muhammad Ali Act extending to MMA from boxing. So, you know, some need for regulation there. And part of it has to do with the fact that the UFC was able to take a portion of his income from that McGregor versus Mayweather fight. So, you know, sounds like he's a little bit pissed off, but we'll see what he actually says. I'm going to be very surprised to see if he actually attacks the UFC, if he does actually go before Congress, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But Anna Juletong, she did have a little bit of mixed martial arts experience. But one of my favorite stories that I sent you guys is our former guest, Michael Moore. Talk about hurricanes. There's a tie-in. He's down there in Florida beating up looters. working for an official security company. I guess he's the real deal. He's a private investigator and armed security guard. And, he's punching out looters down there in a Florida resort right now. That's his official job.
I'd hire him.
Right? Not too shabby. Good work if he can get it. All right. Hopefully we don't have breakups here for the rest of the call. For some reason, you guys are coming in clear like 1 minute and then all to hell the next. We got some good stuff so far, so I'll just have to do some heavy editing. But Eddie Baracco. I wonder if they call him Fast Eddie. It's Skype is, I think Skype is kind of slow tonight for some reason, too. It's weird. It's got to be Jose. Blame it on Jose. All right, so getting back to the news and fight schedule here. We're pretty much done with the news, but we've got a UFC fight coming up tomorrow night from Japan, Saitama Super Arena in Japan. We've got Ovince St. Pro in the main event against Yushin Okami. Ovince is 20-10, Yushin is 34-10. We've got Claudia Gadella, 15-2, and Jessica Andrade, who is 18-6. This is a rematch of these two. Brutal fight, their last fight, and should be another one. But Jessica is a pretty tough girl. She won the last one, and Gadella sometimes just goes in head first, head down, and doesn't think about defense enough, I think. She's going to have a tactical strategy rework to make this one work, I think. But we'll see. We'll see. Sometimes people can reinvent themselves, so you never know what's going to happen. We also got the Fireball, Takanori Gomi, 35-13, fighting Dong Hyun Kim, 14-8-3. And Gokhan Saki, 0-1, fighting Henrique Da Silva, who's 12-3. That seems like mismatch of the week there. And I won't go through the whole list, but here's a good one. Keita Nakamura, 32-8-2. Great record for mixed martial arts. Fighting Alex Morono, who is 13-4. We got Jussie Da Silva, 19-5. Fighting Yuta Sasaki, who's 24-1. We got Hyun Gyu Lim, 13-6. Fighting Daichi Abe, who's 5-0. And Charles Rosa, 11-3, fighting Mizuto Hirota, who's 18-8-2. That's it for the main big ones on that card. And then, of course, we've got a stacked weekend here because we've got Bellator putting on a hell of a card from San Jose, California on Saturday night instead of Fridays, which is their usual day. So they're going to compete with all the Saturday boxing this weekend. Benson Henderson is in the main event, former UFC fighter, 24-7, fighting Patricky Freire, otherwise known as one of the Pitbull brothers. He is 17-8, probably not the most aggressive Pitbull brother, doesn't have the best record of the two of them, but he definitely comes to fight every fight, so should be a great test for Benson to see if he's going to hang around this this league and his division there. But definitely still a tough test for him. He hasn't done that well in Bellator, so it's going to take every ounce of what he has to compete in this one. Another guy who's a former UFC fighter, checkered past a little bit here, Paul Daly, 39-15-2, fighting Lorenz Larkin, who's 18-6. And making his debut, one of your favorite guys, Tony, Roy Nelson, 22-14. Yeah. Fighting Javi Ayala, who is 10-5, and this is great to see Roy finding a home in Bellator because he was one of those guys who he never had a big management team. He actually had another fellow fighter, I think Dan Hardy, in his corner for a couple of his fights, and not even a real full training team with him. He just did everything himself and was not afraid to speak out against management. Started out with the IFL. And he ended up in the UFC, made a great career for himself, won some, lost some, but always, always went after guys. And, you know, took a lot of punishment sometimes because he just, another guy, head down and barging in all the time. But I think Bellator will be much better for him with a little bit smaller pond. Still some big fish, but I think he can handle it. So, wishing him luck in this one. And we've got guys 0-1, talking about mismatches here. Aaron Pico, 0-1, he was supposed to be their big star coming in, and he got flattened by somebody that was supposed to be flattened by him, his last fight. But he's fighting a guy 7-3 now, Justin Lin. And we'll see how that goes, if his promise is still as good as they thought it was going to be. And that was just a fluke. Anyway, Adam Piccolotti is also on the card. He's 9-0, fighting Goichi Yamauchi, who is 21-3. It's pretty much fillers for the rest of the fight card. You have one female fight, Karina Herrera, 3-3, fighting Jameline Nivera, who is 4-3. Jeez, the guys' names are tough enough. Then they throw a crazy girl's name at you. Anyway. So that's about it. And until next week, I guess we'll connect with Tom next Thursday.
Yep.
And we're looking at trying to get one of them big boxing heavyweights that Nick Sampson is trying to introduce me to. A couple of them we've talked to before. Riddick Bowe, he's still working with him.
Yep.
Riddick Bowe, when he said he wanted to fight me, that was funny. And
yep.
Talked about him too with Eddie tonight. But anyway, that's all I've got. And unless you have anything else, Tony, I guess we'll call it a night.
Yeah, just looking forward to the ESPN boxing feature tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. I got both my Philly boy, Jesse Work Hart, going for the super middleweight title. We've got 2 bouts and four. This should be a complete evening of boxing.
All right. Well, I'm pretty sure because it's in Japan, the time difference is going to be all screwed up with the UFC, so I'll probably be able to watch that boxing for once. I still actually need to watch Canelo because it seemed like a very close fight. Some people did have a few rounds ahead for Golovkin, most people I should say. But overall it seemed like there was some real decent exchanges in that fight that I'd love to watch, but... For some reason, I just didn't get it.
Let me know what you think.
All right.
Well, I'm going to check out you
next week. And tell that guy giving out free chicken nuggets that he's a bum when you see him down there at Philly's ball.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, that's nuts. All right, buddy. Till next week.
All right, talk to you later.
Adios.